Screen share again. Can you salute back if you can, if that works? Okay, lovely. So yeah, I'm Adam, and there's some information about me. I'm not particularly qualified in the area of ecology or sustainability, but I suppose the vast majority of us who have a large concern aren't, but we realise the importance of it nonetheless. I'm a teacher at the World School in Billingshurst. I teach religion and philosophy from years of first year, so from 11, age 11 through to 18. I'm a self-published writer, blogger, campaigner, blah, blah, blah. It's all there. There's my little miniature CV for you. So we all kind of know the importance of trying to reduce our footprint in terms of CO2 and our impact on local environments, I suppose, to reduce our kind of carbon footprint ourselves. The video clip that was just shared, actually, there was something that was said that kind of struck me as quite important. It said something like, if you know what's right to do, then you need to do it no matter what. And I think for me personally, before I go into the detail of what the Food Resilience Project is, for me personally, that's something that inspires me in my own activism and inspired me to engage in this project, and inspired me more to try and make it really community oriented. I read something from Paulo Freire the other day, who's writes in Pedagogy and whatnot. His famous book is Pedagogy of the Oppressed, and he essentially says that in the past, in history, a lot of activists have rebelled, but not in order to gain their own freedom or the freedom of their community. They've rebelled to realize the lives of their oppressors, which basically forms this kind of self-perpetuating cycle where a rebellion might be successful, but actually it forms another kind of I suppose immoral society. So I reckon the community aspect of this project will enable me and other aspiring activists who want to make positive social and global change hopefully break that sort of cycle. Okay, so the Food Resilience Project isn't my kind of thought child, as it were. I volunteered or worked with Extinction Rebellion in Croydon. It's by no means an Extinction Rebellion group, although I know from the people that work for or are involved in the Food Resilience Project in Croydon, many of them are part of Extinction Rebellion also. I used to work up there. So basically, the way that it was kind of thought up was many of the members came together and they decided that they were going to have a seed party where they had like a tea party and came with all their various seeds from the vegetables and whatnot that they were growing in their own gardens and lawns and in local parks and whatnot, and decided to share them. And there, on that occasion, they came up with this idea of the Food Resilience Project, particularly being in Croydon in quite an urban area. I think they became really kind of passionate about this idea. They felt that they were kind of the opportunity to grow veg wasn't really available to them. But after seeing what they did, I thought actually even us, people like you and I who live in rural areas, this is probably still just as important for us as well. We all need to make this sort of change. The way we make that change might be different, but we all need to do it. So it's basically a process, hopefully, of reducing our carbon footprint by being more critically aware of our food production systems and the impact they have on the world and the market that we kind of facilitate by engaging with them and buying through them. If we can produce food more locally within a community, within our micro communities, and source it locally, that footprint is potentially almost, apart from some nominal kind of things, almost completely reduced. So that's the ideal. I suppose my overriding aim for this evening, which I've made quite explicit in this pink text, is there are groups popping up around the nation, but obviously more groups need to pop up, and the groups that exist can always do with more members. So there we go. There's my plug for that, if you want to spread the word. Right, so there you go. There are some of the nice people from that seed party. So overarching aims, there are two kind of aims, I suppose, if you really wanted to kind of think about it in that way. There's environmental aims and there's community aims. I think the environmental aims, to grow locally, source locally. Many of the people, not myself, I'm not that good at this yet, but many of the people like to try and forage as well. I'm working on it, and I hope to get better and hope to help educate other people in doing this too. Again, like I said, we want to reduce carbon heavy chains of supply and be seasonally aware. I think if anyone, I'm sure all of you actually have probably watched the Extinction the Facts documentary, and it talked about being seasonally aware about our food and when it's ripe and whatnot, and trying to cater our meals at the right time of year, at the right seasons, to try and keep that in mind. I think that is a critical thing also, and we kind of try to employ permacultural aims in making our food systems, our local food systems, as self-sufficient as possible by recycling as much as we can, by letting the odd thing bolt so we can take seeds from it and recycling those seeds rather than purchasing seeds that have been shipped halfway across the country or from mainland Europe and whatnot. Try and employ those kind of permacultural aims, which obviously difficult because we're not running a permacultural farm in any of these places. We're just communities, but if as a community we can try and think logistically about who's growing what at what time and who's got what and how we can upcycle and all that. That's kind of one of the important aims. So hopefully gardens, I think some gardens within Cootham anyway, the very small hamlet which is Cootham, are changing somewhat from the very traditional English country lawn to something which is a bit more utilisable, a bit more wildlife friendly, provides food for bees, and it's just, I mean, I don't know, in my opinion, better. there you go. That's me from 10 years ago. So here's our community aims. Let me see if I'm moving this over. So, I think interdependence, I've written about this and been thinking about this term quite a lot recently. We want to strengthen the interdependence of people within communities and between communities that live side by side with one another. I think it can feel quite insular and almost exclusive to talk about communities as something that are closed off, when in fact they overlap. They're going through a constant change of flux and whatnot. So this term interdependence for me is really important, and it's something that I try to focus on when I'm thinking about how to approach people and promote it locally and elsewhere. Also, I think it can be hugely effective, again, locally, in helping to fight and reduce perhaps food poverty. If people have got a surplus of food, their own, rather than chucking it in the bin, letting it go stale, letting it go mouldy in the bottom of the fridge, sharing it amongst your community. I myself and some of my neighbours, when we've had over the summer a surplus of food from our garden or from out front, we've put it in a basket, put it out front, and let neighbours know that it's available, and if they'd like it, they can take it, and that way we reduce waste, and we allow people to enjoy that food. Another community aim is to help educate and support one another. Like I said before, I'm not a specialist; I learn as I go. I'm fueled by passion rather than knowledge, but that for me is enough. So we try to educate and support each other in educating themselves and one another. And importantly, I think it provides purpose for people especially those who suffer from eco anxiety. You know, when you feel like you're actually acting and living a life that models what your vision of a future society should be more like, that can be, you know, very emancipatory. And really help you kind of tackle those anxieties, and finding reducing isolation is also another thing. So there you go. There's an isolated businessman who obviously seems to have little interest in the outdoors. We want to transform that sort of person to someone who feels at one with nature outside in their garden, and perhaps with their local community in trying to grow food as well. So in terms of like the tools that the Food Resilience Project have currently got, they've got a website which I've linked on the first slide, and I'll show you again at the end. And they've got this really cool mapping tool where if you are a part of the community, or if you want to create a community, you can locate where you are, and you can kind of put a pin on a map, and that enables other people, you know, near you to know where you are. There's also allotments and community gardens pinned on that map. This is the Croydon area, or South London, on the outskirts of the South Greater London, I suppose. And you can see there's lots of going on, lots of activity in that area. So it's really, really kind of growing quite strong in that area, which is really pleasing. There's also a foraging map, and the multiple colours, each colour represents a different vegetable or berry or something that is being grown on a public footpath or within reach of public footpaths and whatnot, which people have been adding to, which is also fantastic. There's the UK at the moment, and as you can see, the hotspot is London, which is one of the most dense urban areas in the UK, but that's where it's most popular owned because it came out of Croydon, and we're down here near Brighton. So let's have a look at us. So down here in Cootham, I think we're very much kind of at the early days of what me and my wife have envisioned the Cootham Resilience Project to potentially become. And we've got a lot of work to do in order to realise that. We need to write to councils to seek permission to do perhaps veg gardens in public areas, which I think is really important. Our commons have basically been completely decimated if we haven't been fenced off of them already. If we can just, you know, open up small areas within local communities for people to come together and, you know, share that space and growing food, that would be great. So we really want to start trying to talk to councils to gain permission to do that. Of course, there's some of us, myself included, who are a little bit more activistic and aren't opposed to doing a bit of guerrilla gardening and just getting involved and just seeing what they say. But I think the principles of the Food Resilience Project, you know, you can do it your way, provided you stick to the principles of, you know, promoting nature, promoting community, keeping to that kind of fair and moral ethos. We're also preparing our own garden. We've been helping our neighbours prepare their gardens for growing veg. Just the other day, I was down the road from me, one of my neighbours, who's not able to reach her veg bed. It's a bit low for her. She doesn't have the money to raise it up high enough at the moment, or not really interested in doing it. But she's asked me to, if I could use it, and we're going to grow potatoes there, and they've sprung up quite nicely, and she's very, very, very pleased about that. So, yes. Now, I wanted to give a little bit of a kind of, just talk a little bit about my own take on the Food Resilience Project and community, and why it's important to me, with a little bit of risk of being slightly controversial. I think that a successful resolution to climate change will be one that puts community at its heart. The pandemic for me was particularly hard, as it was for many people, and I think communities have strengthened as a result, because people have realized the importance of community and realized that actually perhaps a part of the political economic system that we live in kind of suppresses our urge to form communities and work together. It kind of encourages us actually to be quite individualistic. And I have a quite a severe fear that if/when this pandemic flies over, perhaps those kind of systemic forces will kick back in and many people will be encouraged, maybe even not, you know, unknowingly encouraged to resume their former kind of insular, individualized lives. So for me, the community part really is essential to finding common ground amongst people who otherwise wouldn't know each other, who, you know, can only collectively really pave the way for positive change in terms of tackling climate change. I've come up with this concept, which is kind of, it's based on, I suppose, inspired by the philosopher Hegel and whatnot, but this process of self-rebelling as a person who's been raised in a very kind of, you know, Western colonial culture. I found my own realization of climate change very difficult, you know, tackling my own cognitive dissonances, as it were, very, very difficult. So I kind of invented this idea for myself of self-rebelling and trying to realize the contradictions of my own existence. That sounds a bit, maybe a bit too philosophical, but I think when someone suffers from eco-anxiety, that probably is one of the main factors, is that they are kind of living in a bit of a contradiction for a while until they realize how they can make positive changes to their own life and like realize maybe a new form of meaning for themselves, because it is very challenging. It challenges, you know, your very person, you know, purpose as a person, if you've been raised in a culture where actually environmental awareness never really played a, you know, played a part, was never really part of the consciousness before. So this process of self-rebelling, I suppose the Kootan Food Resilience Project for me really feeds into that. I really, when I thought about starting it up locally, I wasn't really interested in the food. I wasn't, you know, I didn't really want to kind of break my back digging holes in the garden, but I thought, you know, it's needed, it's required. You know, if you want to model, and like I said before, you want to model what this new world should be like. And I've actually come to a point now where I find it really liberating and I love it. And it's really kind of enabling me to kind of function properly again, which is really, 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 really brilliant. So hopefully, I feel that this project will not only bring communities together and help them fight climate change, environmental destruction and whatnot, but hopefully it will kind of enable them to find meaning in that process, in the process of doing that, in the process of challenging their own destructive habits and whatnot. Anyway, so that's the personal bit. Here are some examples of people from within our community, what they've grown and what they've shared. Viv's big wheelbarrow there full of loads, which was you know, those courgettes. I think loads of people tried those courgettes and appreciated those. This is us hanging up our herbs and letting them dry naturally rather than chucking them in an oven or a microwave and wasting loads of energy of them, just hanging up and letting them dry naturally. They definitely taste much better. So just a reminder, I suppose, to close off of the tasks there. But this is kind of, I suppose, what I want Storrington and Horsham and Billingshurst and the West Sussex to start looking like. You got one in Storrington, and I'd hope that at some point in the near future, someone in Horsham would be kind of inspired to get involved, someone else elsewhere. And the map in the southeast of England in West Sussex hopefully will start filling up with people that are equally inspired to get involved in the Food Resilience Project and start their own project if they can. And that is all from me. I hope it wasn't too monotone, too boring. I hope it was interesting. If you have any questions at all or want to challenge me on any of my ideas, please feel free to.
Thank you, Adam. That was absolutely brilliant. I don't know, Helen, should we stop the recording? I think. We've got that as a nice presentation. Yeah. So thank you, Adam. That was absolutely fascinating. And yeah.